Blog Talk Radio.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Of the Gore Girl Variety Hour. I don't know. People are gouging their eyes. They're plucking their ears from their head. It's all good. Thank you for tuning in, guys. Because, of course, we're here. Where else would you tune in? You know, we're the hottest thing going on Sunday nights. Everyone's like, hey, wait a second. Yes, you heard me right. Oh, my God, guys, we got craziness. Welcome to another episode of the Halloween Countdown that we have, or as we call it, the Gooey Halloween Madness. It's a bunch of craziness. I'm melting all over the place. It's good stuff. Oh, my God. We got a great show for you guys tonight. And, of course, you were tipped off by our traditional horror opening bar, which alerts you people who check out the archives later who can't hear the live show that it is one of the five Halloween shows we have going on. My God, guys. Insanity. First of all, I'd like to thank my tech guy, Yed, who's sitting to my right here, for giving me the tuberculosis with which I am doing the show this evening. So thank you, Techie Yes. Thanks.
Hey, no problem.
My God.
Glad I can help.
Well, I don't know if any of you remember, but we did a Waverly Hills show like 3 weeks ago or something. I don't know. It was before we went to the Mid-South Convention. And in solidarity to the show, in loyalty, Techie Yed caught tuberculosis. Unfortunately, he decided that I should join in the festivities. So I've been hacking up a lung all day. Usually we just like to digest the lungs of our victims, but apparently, I was chewing on my own this afternoon. Oh, my God, guys, it's Halloween. It's Halloween. You people should be jumping out of your chair. You should be excited. We talked about this last week, the feeling you get when Halloween rolls around, you know, the chills up your back, the air is changing, you could feel it coming, the haunted houses, the pumpkins, the tradition, you know, brothers scaring their sisters, or, I don't know, more to do with dressing up in their clothes than with costumes, but whatever. I'm just talking about taking the ad. I don't know. We love you, Techie Ed. Oh, my God. First of all, I got to give a big shout-out. I've been wanting to do this the last couple shows, and I keep forgetting because everybody knows how much I love to ramble. I don't know if on radio that's a good thing, but apparently on Ghost Banding Hunter, they allow me to do that. So I have to thank the fans. First and foremost, you guys have been awesome, and I have to thank the international fans that have carried over from the Ghost Man Demon Hunter audience. Thank you so much, guys, for all your positive feedback of the show. Everybody knows I do Ghostman Demon Hunter. We've been going for a year and a half, you know, and I just want to thank all those fans that listen to that show and support us in that for checking out this new little endeavor I have of a show. So thank you so much, guys. I mean, just letters from everywhere, emails. Thank you. You guys rock. Seriously, we couldn't do it without you guys. It's much appreciated. I swear to God it is. I'm not lying to you. It is. Seriously. Yeah. Is the mic off? Okay. How much I get paid to say that? No, seriously, guys. Thank you so much. It was awesome. God, Halloween. Halloween. I don't know. I don't know if I should hack up a lung in excitement or because of this plague that is festering in my body. I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on. But, oh, God, guys, this is, like, probably the coolest show we're going to have during Halloween season because we have the one and only Ed Neal on. Seriously, guys, seriously, that is extremely awesome. I don't even know. I don't know what to say. How much better could radio get?
I don't think it could get any better.
I don't think it could get any better. I don't think it's any better than this right here. So, I don't know. Strap yourselves in, guys, because it's going to be a wild rest of the show. But seriously, I have to say one thing, though. I have to say one thing, and then I swear to God I'll shut up. And we'll get on with the great show that we got going on. Halloween's coming. Yes, yes, yes. We've got a big show packed next weekend full of Halloween tradition, all sorts of stuff. I'm going to do a little Dom DeLuise for you guys, Haunted Honeymoon, you know. Do you remember that? Techie has no idea. He's looking at me like I'm nuts. Yes, Dom DeLuise did this whole like musical number in Haunted Honeymoon when he was dressed as you know, the mother. And it was, let's take out and bring it back. And that's what we call balling the jack. I mean, it was great. It was great. So, I mean, we'll be performing next week. And, of course, we're required to dress and drag, so.
Yeah, what else
do we do? We do the show that week, all the time like that. But, big thank you, like I said, to everybody. Awesome. And you guys are totally making the Halloween season worth it with all your comments and your positive feedback. So thank you so much. And a special thanks to HorrorMovieFans.com. I love you guys, and we will be talking. So good times. Thank you to them. And they're going to be like, God, they mentioned us. Now we're associated with them. Oh, my God.
What did you sign up for?
We didn't sign up for this. Get that whore off the radio. And, yes, I can say whore because I had an argument with my producers about this. You know, they always shake their fists at me every show for something I should not have said, some politically incorrect thing. But you know what? Yeah. Mm-hmm. We are politically incorrect. We're just incorrect in many ways.
Yeah. I'm liking that head, both.
Techie Ed is, like, dying over here, guys. As you can see, it's funny. I don't know. The hazmat suit I'm wearing to keep away from him is not very comfortable, though, so I don't know.
Well, you caught my disease.
There is one thing I got to mention, though, guys. Coming off the High Honeymoon thing, I promise I'll make this fast. Okay, we got so many great things coming up for Halloween. You know how all the TV stations, I'm not going to talk about radio because we have certain people listening to us and such that if we say some bad things will happen to us, broken kneecaps, stuff like that. But, you know, TV, they get ready for the Halloween season. AMC does their thing. Well, ABC Family does their 13 nights of Halloween or some jazz, right? It's 13 nights leading up to Halloween. They show a movie. Okay, well, it's ABC Family, right? Can I say that in there? Well, whatever. So the producer's like, and we're getting sued. Whatever. I have amendments or something, or I don't know. Something's protected me somewhere. Probably it's tuberculosis right now. I don't think anybody get near me. But, okay, they do this 13 Nights of Horror, right? And it's ABC Family, so you expect Casper. You expect Adam's Family 2. You expect the usual jazz. And, I mean, come on, guys. It's kitschy. It's fun. It's campy. Even us hardcore horror fans, we dig the whole scene because, come on, I mean, it's goofy. It's just any celebration of Halloween to us is a great celebration. There is one thing I have to say, though. I saw a commercial for this. I wasn't even going to talk about this, but this hit me today, and I was busting up laughing. 13 days of Halloween. First of all, I want to know who decides what fits these movies for Halloween because their big movie that they're premiering, their 13 Nights of Halloween, it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3. When did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles dictate Halloween? Where, anywhere in that movie, does that even remotely... Okay, are they trying to go off the whole mutant turtle thing? Seriously? Seriously, guys? Who comes up with this? I mean, it's some... You know, who decides what makes Halloween? It's some studio, jaded corporate exec guy who, once again, folks, pads their pockets with our tear-stained dollars. But seriously, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3? Of all the Halloween fare you could possibly have, of all the things we consume with, you know, corporate America shoving down our throat, trying to make our holidays campy and Martha Stewart-ish, we have to swallow Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? That's cool. People dress up like stuff all the time. But that's not a reason to show the movie in solidarity to Halloween. People are going to be dressing up like High School Musical. You know, they're going to be dressing up like those people. As scary as those movies are, they're not considered horror, people. So we're not going to be showing High School Musical to celebrate the 13 days of Halloween. So I want to know who made this schedule up so I can personally take my towel off and whip you with it. Because what is this? I don't get it. I just found it hysterical, and I had to tell you guys, and I know you guys love it when I find insane things to ramble about because I'm nuts, and you guys laugh about it because I'm insane, and there's not too many other people that admit they're insane on air. So, but no, I fully admit I'm certifiable. So anyway, I don't know. Leave your comments for me on the Ninja Turtles thing because I don't get it, guys. I really don't get it. I don't understand where it came from. I don't know. This is, of all the economic and political things going on right now, this is what's bugging me. I'm like, what? Ninja Turtles 3 for Halloween? What blasphemy is this? But I don't know, guys. I mean, we're in like a depression right now, and here's me going, depression? Screw that. They're playing Ninja Turtles 3 for Halloween. I don't get it. But, you know, guys, I'm just nuts, so we'll go with that. So leave me your comments, guys. I have talked about that. We'll bring that up during next week's Halloween show. But you know what? I'm going to stop rambling because we have to do this. This is the most amazing person to bring on radio right now, and this is going to be the hottest show of the year, seriously. So we have on the line right now, pulsating through the walls of the GG Studios, guys, from one corner of the globe to the other, wherever you guys are listening from, we have the one, the only, the legendary Ed Neal. Ed, are you there?
This is Rainy Manischewitz here. I'm Ed Neal's rabbi, and he's in the outer room with some brownie stuff. I don't know. Wait, I'll get it. Eddie, baby, they're on the phone, honey. Come on. Put that down. Here.
Hi, how's it going? This is Ed. How you doing?
I'll be here all week. Oh, my God. Ed, welcome to the GG Hour. How's it going?
The GG Hour. Oh, wait. I'll adjust my G string. There, I'm fine now. How you doing? Good to see you.
Oh, my wait. God. You seriously, you are, I don't know. I absolutely love you. For everybody out there, we've got people in the paranormal listening, people in the horror community listening, everybody from every walk of life. For any of you.
I just got one question. Why is one normal never enough? Why do they have to have a paranormal? Never enough. You're such a greedy bitch. I can't believe it. Paranormal. I actually want the paranormals, Rabbi. What am I going
to
do?
We don't want normal. We don't take too kindly to that around these parts. No,
you made a big mistake asking for normal.
Yeah, that's probably the last thing. Yeah, we're having that needle on. Where in that does normal come in? No, it doesn't. They're like, yeah, it's just insanity. No, for anybody who does not know, who is just insane enough not to know, you are infamous now, I guess, for famous, infamous, you're everything, for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original. And, oh, my God, you've done countless projects. You're just, you are amazing. You're versatile.
You still live in the projects, yeah. Oh, well, project, you mean the theatrical project, yes.
Did we hear about our projects? I don't know. What happened? Cabrini Green up here. I don't know. But, oh, my God, Ed, what have you been up to? You are just amazing. You're all over the place. What are you doing now? I can't keep track of you.
I'm sitting here counting the money that I made today on the Dallas Cowboys game. No, seriously. No, we're having a lot of fun. We just did a thing last night that was, like, way too much fun. We went down and some kids were trying to raise money to keep their wrestling school open. So we went down and refereed a couple of wrestling matches and beat a couple of people up, and it was fun.
Not only are you the most, like, famous guy in the horror industry, but you're also a humanitarian. Who'd have thunk? Really? Really? I'm like, oh, my God.
I always thought that'd be fun. Anytime, because we need some, like, to wrestle with people. I said, well, I can't do wrestling because I don't want anybody to get hurt. Well, because I know secret ninja moves that Cheryl Ladd taught me many years ago.
Oh,
I don't want to get, I don't want to hurt anybody. No, it's all fake. Oh, really? Who knew? No, that was a lot of fun.
We
were waiting to hear on a
bunch of things. We've got several people out trying to raise dough for a bunch of projects that are going on. So that,
whoever gets there first with the money, then we'll do that one.
Yeah.
Like that.
You have, if you want to touch Ed, you have to buy him. I'm sorry. That's how it works.
I'm not cheap, but I can be had.
What?
I'm getting cheaper by the minute.
I'm hearing buzz. I hear buzz about what is this Resist Evil trilogy? I am hearing so much buzz about this.
Oh, we had so much fun. These really sweet kids said, "You want to come to Iowa? They said, "You want to come to Iowa and make a movie?" And I said, "Iowa, absolutely. Is it cold there?" And they said, "No, it's not cold. Come on out." So I said, "You know," and Teresa, who helps me book these things, my lovely fiance, was saying, "Well, you know, of course, Ed doesn't work in the outdoors if it's below 50. Because he's from Texas and his blood is so thin, he'll collapse." And they said, "Oh, not a problem. No, there are no outdoor scenes at all." So we get to Iowa, and we go, and while we're driving in from the airport, the kids turn to Teresa and smile. They said, "Did you get the copy of the upgraded script that we sent?" And she says, "Why, no." "Oh, we're just going to have to stop over at the cemetery and shoot a few scenes before we go to the real set." And she says, "Cemetery, that would be outdoors."
And it's -3 outside.
The entire cemetery is outdoors. "What's the current temperature?" She says calmly, and they go, "Oh, it's 9 degrees.
Oh, my God.
She turns to them and says, "Good luck getting Ed out of the car." He ain't going.
That's it.
But
the red M&Ms or not, you're done.
There were four of them, so, like, you know, after a few hours of dragging and screaming, they finally dug me out. So, but 9 degrees, like, I was like, my eyes were like, "I hate you."
You know, you do that without the you repeating everything.
It's the Oscar performance of the year, guys, right there. I mean, they're going to be like, "Oh my God, yeah. You see the dedication in that?" Actually, it was below zero, but I don't.
Actually, what they said was, "You don't get a plane ticket home unless you do the scene," which for you young filmmakers works every time. So write that one down. Works every time.
Now we're getting quality filmmaker tips right here. I mean, this is great.
Oh yeah, they don't teach you that in film school. How do I get an actor to do what I want? You know, tell them that the return ticket is hidden in an apartment downtown, and you'll never find it unless.
They're like, "No, I have to stay and shoot." Oh my God, this sounds exciting, because it was like, I heard this, what is it? It's a 3-part serial. Obviously, it's the trilogy.
Yeah.
And it chronicles, what was it, political, supernatural, insane stuff that unfolds in a world where God has mysteriously gone missing.
And it was a real first for me, because I got to play two different characters that I have, you know, longed to play. I got to play the President of the United States and a zombie.
Oh, my God.
The young guy, the wonderful young director says, "Well, you know, I think this is the first time this has been done, President and a zombie." I said, "I don't know how to break this, so you're not quite as old as I am, but we have had many presidents who have been zombies."
But I'm ching.
He said, "Oh, yeah, I guess so."
I'm like, "Yes, we've been there, done that. They've devoured and moved on, but..."
Yes, the zombies running this country. Boy.
They're digesting our economy right now, but it's okay. Oh, my God. No, I'm excited, though, because I don't think people realize just how talented you are. The impressions you do like a million impressions. I mean, you come up with things off the top of your head. You're believable as an actor, which a lot of the actors in the industry are not so lucky. But you are.
I call Nicolas Cage over there. I said, "Nicolas," he said, "what, Ed?" And I said, "Well, what, do you have a part for me in the film?" You know, I said, "Do you have any talent?" I said, "No, I just stand around and talk like this." He goes, "Well, I do that, Ed, so I can't use you."
I'm thinking, you know, what's with Eddie Murphy getting into, like, these clump movies? I think they need a movie of you playing, like, 15 parts. I think that would be the
I want to know how Eddie gets these films funded over and over and over when they don't make any money. I thought, you know, like, if your film doesn't make any money, then you can't make any more movies. You know, like, if you do that 3 or 4 times in a row, then aren't you pretty well done, Jenny?
You would think, right? You would think that eventually somebody would think, hey, you're not funny. We're not going to make you work. No, no. It's,
no, because
I'm sure Eddie's on his knees somewhere making sure his next movie gets made. But
I don't know how that works.
And we'll leave that reference to the audience's imagination. But, oh my God, what is this? This is just insane. You're doing so many awesome projects. I mean, I'm excited to see that one. But The Undertaker?
We're these guys are, let's see, who they got so far? They got, I'm asking you, they got Richard Hatch. Who else? What? We got several guys already signed up to do this pretty cool Mother Zombie movie, and that looks like fun. I mean, it's the season of the zombies. I mean, who gets tired of zombies? Nobody, you know.
I mean, I personally have zombie.
Younger.
I heard this is a comic book style zombie film, and
he's gonna do it like that real wonderful Rodriguez style thing.
Oh God, that created a gorgasm right now, guys, because Rodriguez just, whew, I love that man. The stuff he does is awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. No, I'm excited because you're doing like some awesome projects, and I see all these people all the time that they pick up these projects and they're, yes, I'm doing a comedy. It's humorless, but it's a comedy, it's not funny though. Okay. But you've got this incredible zombie flick. It's philosophical. About, you know, God going missing. You've got this comic book style Rodriguez thing. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, Samuel Jackson told me one time, how come they have to call them black comedies? I said, well, Sam, never mind.
You know what we're going to do? I just had a thought. We're going to call
what?
Ed up, and we're going to hire you, and we're just going to lie to the audience. And be like, oh, my God, we have, you know, we have Samuel L. Jackson on the show this week, and we're just going to call you, and you just pretend to be, it'll be great. By the time they really catch on, we'll be history. It'll be great. It'll be good stuff. Are you down
That's
for this?
Not Nicolas Cage. I'm Nicolas Cage. Are you sure?
Doing that show.
Check with my agent.
Did we do this show? No, you didn't. You were stoned during most of that. Oh my God! So obviously it's Halloween season. This is your season because you played, like, one of the greatest roles ever. You know, fans are just nuts over this. The original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you were the hitchhiker. And, I mean, fans adore you for this role. How do you feel about this, having all these?
Hey, it just came out in Blu-ray. you know you've arrived when your film comes out in Blu-ray. You know, I'm like, how do you feel now that you're in Blu-ray? And I thought, it was like a lineup where they picked, no, it's a type of, you know, and then they explained
it's
it.
It's a lineup.
Blu-ray, you know, stand underneath the Blu-ray. No, I don't want to see the Blu-ray. My penis will get small and then no one will talk to me. You know, it's horrible.
Well, I was going to say,
but no, I think that's very exciting because they just come out and they're saying that, the transfer and everything is just wonderful, and it's the best it's ever looked, and you know, yada, 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 you know.
You're like,
so
yeah,
that's
yeah,
exciting. Yeah. Just came out for Hollywood.
Yeah.
Everybody go out and get your Blu-ray copy. Yeah.
But just, I don't know, I'd have to say that movie, you know, you're well known for it, but, I mean, how were you cast? Because, I mean, just everyone thinks that this movie was so well planned and you know, it was purposeful and it was like this, but isn't it not one of the most serendipitous films ever? Everything was accidental?
It pretty much was. They did a lot of planning, but it was, you know, the film was, you know, was supposed to be a tax write-off for Texas politicians. It wasn't like a distribution, you know. Back in those days, you could write $4 to one off for...
No one thought twice. Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, so they were amazed when... You got a distributor? Well, that's terrific, kids. That's wonderful. And so the rest is history. You know, something started out like a tax dodge, ends up with one of the best movies ever. That's, I think, you know, it was just a lucky circumstances where a lot of really creative people found themselves with nothing else to do that weekend. You know, it was, hey, let's hang out and be silly. You know, but after we got into it, the environment kind of took over, you know, 112 degrees and all of that, and the gruesome shooting schedule, and we got to have all these cameras back in 28 hours,
Oh, we have to pay another $3,000. Well, what's wrong with that? We don't have $3,000. Oh, then I guess we should get the camera back. Well, what will you do? Well, we'll just keep filming. The whole 28 hours? Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we'll have bathroom breaks. Shut up, you wusses. Oh, bathroom breaks. That'll be good. No, I'll just pee in my pants like I do at the house. No. Those are the only pair of pants we have. It's a low budget. Oh.
We don't have the $28 for more pants. Where are those?
That's what they said. So we just did that. But that was kind of fun when the environment is so incredible that it takes over and makes you do things. It couldn't only have helped everybody's performance, and indeed it did.
Well, I was going to say that was some of the best performances in horror history. And where did you get the inspiration for your role? Because it was so just, wow. I mean,
well, I actually have a paranoid schizophrenic nephew that when we were doing the audition with Toby Hooper, he goes, "Can you be weird?" And all my friends, immediately started laughing like maniacs. "Can he be weird, Steve?" Weird is what he does. So I said, "Weird is what I do." And he goes, "Okay, be weird." So I started just goofing on it because I thought, we were in the drama department doing, Ibsen and Ionesco and Truffaut. And, we weren't about to get in this horror movie and it would never be done anyway. So we were just goofing on him. And I said, "Well, I'll do my nephew. He's just a paranoid schizophrenic." So I started pattering all my physical mannerisms after the stuff I'd seen him do. And I looked up and I saw absolute abject terror and fear in his eyes. And I said, "I think I scared the poor man." And so 2 days later, here they sent Ken Hinkle, the screenwriter, over with a contract going, "You're our guy. you're our kind of weird."
Oh, my God. And see, it's funny because I hear so many people, it was meant to be like that. It was meant.
Well, actually, it made me feel real good, though. That's because I said, "Do you interview hundreds of people and I'm the weirdest person you found?" And they said, "Yeah." You're it.
Now I'm going to make a shirt, Ed Neal, the weirdest guy in America.
The weirdest guy we ever met.
We're going to make a crown for you. It'll be great. It'll be great. I'll be like a beauty pageant. We'll, present you with the ribbon. No,
he's weird and wonderful.
We'll start crying. Oh my God, I knew he was weird since I met him. I knew it. It was great. No, everyone swears up and down. Oh, it was made for this purpose. This was, that was purposeful. Oh, that move was purposeful. But,
another thing that really cheered me up was like everybody was calling up going, "Hey, have you seen that movie with Heath Ledger, man? He's like totally doing it, man."
God.
And I thought it was some paparazzi people on the phone. I'm going, "I never did Heath Ledger." No, he's doing you in the movie. Oh, you know how Hollywood is.
If I did, you don't know about it. It was brownies and stuff.
So those photographs can be photoshopped, and I never met the man. But no, so it was wonderful to have influenced this fine an actor who later admitted that, yeah, he'd seen Chainsaw like 32 times or something.
Did he? I didn't even know. Did he really model the Joker after?
Oh, sure, he did. Yeah, but that cheered me up because he was a fine actor.
Oh my God, that's nothing. I didn't even know that. That's something new right now. God, look at that.
Oh yeah.
I'm all educated now. I feel all special. I'm like, I have tuberculosis and I'm educated.
Special burger. You're cuter than a speckled pup on a red wagon. Oh, help me, child.
That's what we say where I come from.
You're killing my tech guy over here. He's trying to focus on the boards and stuff and the mics, and he's dying. He's hanging off the table, like grasping for air.
He should get better dope. I'm mailing some.
See, you're getting better dope from Ed Neal himself.
That's good.
can you make it to the end of the interview?
I'll try.
I'll pick you something off the top of the trees, huh?
My God, but seriously, how does it feel? Because everyone goes crazy. They're like, oh, these horror stars, they go to the conventions. How do you feel personally about having done this film and it just being a total, you just did it, like you said, you weren't expecting anything, and it blew up into the phenomenon it is? Like, how do you feel when you go to these conventions and meet these people who it's touched their lives?
It's one of the most wonderful things ever to just walk into a room and there's like hundreds and hundreds of people there that you've never met before. It doesn't matter whether you're in Cincinnati or Poughkeepsie. I mean, they're just wonderful, wacky people, and you all have this shared experience that you can immediately start talking about. And, I mean, like, for example, we've heard it like 3,200 times, but it never ceases to warm my heart when they say, well, back in the day, you know, way back then, they still had drive-in movies, and Larissa here, this is the only movie we ever watched at the drive-in. I mean, you know, if a theatrical project is important and wonderful enough to make a man give up sex, then you know you've done something right.
Wow. See that, guys? Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it'll make you give up sex. Do you see what, see
no,
that stuff?
I mean, you know, you know you've done something right.
Yeah,
you
right.
Don't you think we should put the speaker inside the car? What for? You know, just what kind of thing is the driving?
It's
just be loud and annoying. You know?
Well, I mean, I think the difference with you compared to most people in the industry is that you're likable. You're believable. You're likable. I mean, you do good. You don't just pick up crap to do on the side. You actually do decent work. I mean, you're an awesome actor, and I don't think everybody realizes just how talented you are. We have the privilege right now to hear all these many, you know, facets to you, but my God, there's so much more to Ed Neal than I think people know. So
one of the things that amazes people most, and we never think about it, you know, because we're so used to it, I dub a lot of Japanese anime, and sometimes I'll do 10, 12, 13 different voices in one anime. And these people that have seen the animes, these kids are going, you're the voice of Soto? I didn't know that. I didn't even know you could speak English. Oh, but so it's a lot of fun to go and now have this almost second life that where you get to set in a studio. Oh, we just dubbed some Korean horror films, and you know, I mean, it's just fun stuff. We get to just sit on a stool and talk stupid and be paid money.
Wow, we do the same thing. We sit our stool and talk stupid.
I know.
My
kindred spirit. Yeah. And it appears that the stupider I get on these things, the more they pay me. I said, how stupid do you need? And I said, how stupid you got? And I said,
Now we need to talk stupider.
All right, got it.
Stupider, is that a word? My tuberculosis is affecting my brain. But the audience is like, oh, our girl's dying. Well, we're passing the show over to you, Ed. It's all yours now. But seriously, it's amazing to hear all your voices and stuff like that. And were you doing cartoons? Were you going to get into cartoons? What was with the whole cartoons thing?
I just went and helped a guy out one day, and then it just went from there. And they said, oh, my God. Well, and then they would just put them up on a screen, and they would show your character, and they'd say, what would he sound like? And, you know, it's kind of fun, because in, you know, how these things are, they have like 40 different characters in them, and you get in like on one project, you can do everything from a, you know, a 12-year-old gay Asian male, you're not from out that comedy here. And you get to do a 106-year-old Asian man, you're like, I think she's just go and take the boy with you. You know, and you get to do all these terrific things in between. You'll get to do the signature voice. They must all die. You know, and it's like, it's a lot of fun. Because, you know, if you're schizophrenic like I am, shut up! If you're schizophrenic like I am, you're never alone. And there's plenty of people to talk to and hang out with. and so when I found out they would give you money for being schizophrenic, I said, is this a great country or what? It's a pretty good deal right there.
Is that your favorite thing to do? Is cartoons your favorite thing?
Oh, hell yeah. You get to be like 23 people in one day and walk away with hundreds of dollars in your pocket. If you got a better deal, call me.
That's it. The next cartoon porn we shoot, call Ed. Put his number down quick. But it's just, it's insane. And I mean, you must be packed. I mean, you must be packed with projects, especially during October, because this is like,
one of the funnest things we're going to do. And I hope are you going to get to make it to Erie Fest?
I was actually thinking about going. That's funny that you said that.
Oh my gosh. Did you see all the fun people that are going to be there? We're going to go up to Erie Fest in Erie, Pennsylvania. The Erie Fest is E-E-R-I-E, but Erie, Pennsylvania is only E-R-I-E if you're trying to book tickets on the flight.
Or Lake Erie, whatever.
Yeah. But we're going to go up there, and we're going to have a wonderful reunion of all of these people that we have barely ever had before at shows. Terry McMinn, the girl on the hook is going to be with us.
Oh, my God.
And Bill Vail, her good-looking boyfriend, who still looks really nice.
Gore Girl might get in trouble that weekend.
he's still hot and it's still a hottie. And he's going to be there. And so we usually never have them with us at a show. And of course, Gunnar and I will be there. And Bill Vail, her boyfriend, in the movie, and John Dugan, Grandpa, is going to be there.
Right.
And Jerry, great, quick Google on us, the van driver. Jerry! And when Alan Danziger, we always drive him crazy because Paul Partain, and the man in the wheelchair would always scream out, Jerry! So now whenever he walks into the room, we all scream, Jerry!
Which, Jerry!
Yeah, exactly. So all you have to do to make him roll his eyes is to walk up to him and go, Jerry! He'll go crazy. But he is so fun. He still has his New York accent after all these years. He's lived in Texas, you know, for the last 80 years or something. But he's still, like, just out of the Bronx, which is a lot of fun.
What's it like to have all of you guys? I mean, you worked on this project. You guys were pretty much, I mean, in essence, kids when you worked on this project. And all these years later, you guys get together. I mean, what is it? What's the feeling that you guys have?
Well, we've all got so much on each other now. We have to kind of put up with each other. Like, they'll make me show those to your wife.
Yeah, those pictures.
Polaroids you took in 1975. So, yeah, we know where everybody's bodies are buried. So we're all very nice to each other. Nobody wants to get called on. You know how that is. Very good.
I saw what you did to that Mexican hooker. Okay, no.
For me, it was the midget nun. But I thought it was going to be fun, okay? Okay? Don't
visual
judge me. Don't judge me.
Oh,
do not judge me.
Yes, pull the plug. Oh,
it was the time of my life I thought midget nuns need love too. You know, I was young.
Seriously, I mean, you're naming all these people that were in the movie, and you had said that you guys, you know, just kind of did it and it was a thing. But I mean, here we are in Halloween, and we're getting amped up on the feelings of Halloween. What did you feel back then? I mean, did you feel something insane? You guys were doing something totally nuts. You guys were out there just being crazy, doing your craft, living your passion. I mean, what was the feeling on set every day, besides tired?
Well, it was a little crazy because you've got to understand, and I'm sure a bunch of the indie film people listening to this will start all nodding their heads. You don't have enough money or enough time or enough, you know. I mean, there were days when they go, does anybody on the crew have a crowbar? Go to your car, get a crowbar. We need it in the next scene. Okay? Does anybody have a hat? Pocket knife. We also need, what else do we need? We need hair curlers. We need pocket knife. We need a flamethrower. Okay, box of matches. Fine. Cut the flamethrower. We'll use the matches. You know, I mean, that's the way it goes in low budget. You know, so we were borrowing props from the crew members who were getting them out of their truck. here, use this, you know.
You explained it perfectly how low-budget films are. I mean, we all remember what it was like to work on them, and it's just, it's nuts. You know, you're scrambling around. But
no, you're sitting there trying to do this big, dramatic, incredible, wonderful thing, and you got a 19-year-old crew member screaming over the top of the direction, "Don't break that, that's my father's!" He has to take you to work on Monday.
My Uncle Jimmy will pick my name at.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
But was it a positive, like, feeling, though? Because you know how some films you work on, you're like, oh, I don't know.
Well,
and sometimes you work on it, and you're, like, excited. Like,
We would get together, like after a scene, and we'd go, well, thank God nobody's ever even going to see the damn thing, you know, because that will save us. We'll still be able to tour. You know, because I was touring with Sandy Duncan doing Little Mary Sunshine. You know, you go to object to Little Mary. You know, Sandy Duncan. You know, and so, but then it's always going to be this big stage actor, and nobody was ever going to see me. And this thing was never going to be shown.
No one will ever see this Little Massacre movie. Who cares? And isn't it funny?
Yeah, after the film comes out, Sandy Duncan's going, I have no idea who Ed Neal is. I never met the man. He did 5 shows with him. Because she didn't want to be associated with Texas Chainsaw.
And there's pictures of you two baking pies together. Ed Neal, I have no
idea
who Ed is.
No, she was really, really terrific actress. I really
nope, didn't sell me coke, I swear. But
No.
No, it's just, I think it's funny. I think a lot of fans, You know, they get caught up in what the movie is now, and you know, they don't remember that it wasn't planned.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't like that,
oh, yeah.
You know. You didn't shoot the movie with the intent of it being a cult classic, you know.
Oh, no. But when we go to Erie Fest, we're going to have, some fans brought me some Italian photo booster posters and some French posters and German posters. We have all these wonderful things that we've never seen before, but I've got a couple of duplicates. So a bunch of the fans have asked, please, please, please bring them to the show. So we'll have those at the show. And it's really fun to hang out with people, and they tell you their experiences on what their favorite scene was how it got them into directing, how they wanted to be a scene designer, whatever, you know. That's really exciting to think that you've influenced anybody's life in a positive way.
Well, there are those negative ones. I have to ask you, because, I mean, you see all the merchandise, all the stuff that's come out for Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Lunchbox and stuff. Have you ever seen that, and I actually own this, I'm not ashamed, they actually have a porn modeled after you guys.
Oh, yeah, we I know some of the people in it. Don't judge me. You run into a lot of people in this business. No, but this is, hey, just your movie. I went, yeah, because I got an email to me from about 200 people. Who, oh, my God, have you seen Ron Jeremy?
Oh, my God. I thought it was hysterical. Ron Jeremy's in it, and it's called Texas Masquerade. I mean,
yeah, and they use a lot of the actual dialogue and everything. But that's not near as funny as the fact that I now have my own. It's just coming out now. I think Mezco Toys is just coming out this month with my own action figure. You know.
Oh my God, Mezco! Seriously, I have all the collectors. I'm a big collector as well. I love Mezco stuff. They're just insane with some of the stuff they come out with. Is it going to be like realistic looking, like McFarlane stuff, or is it going to be the usual Mezco crazy looking thing?
It looks very nice looking, and it looks just like me, airbrushed and all. No, it looks nice, but my poor Puerto Rican cab driver friends go, I can't wait to get what I'm gonna put on the dash with some like crazy clothes. Oh, okay.
You're like
cab. That way I could, you were like a patron saint of like my cab. Like nothing will happen to me because the spirits from you will come and they will like do anybody that's funny. See. Oh, okay, it's great.
See, now look, your toy from Esco will be now the national symbol of spirituality. Do you see how this
Absolutely.
Works?
Absolutely.
I just buy
this and put it in your head.
It's amazing just how something like that has affected so many people and spawned so many things. But come on, you got this. What was your favorite drama on set?
That would have been the producer's wife said, not in here. Not now. My husband said, oh, no, that's not what you meant.
Oh, but that gives us good visuals.
You mean the things that were in the film.
or we could talk more about that. So you were in the, I'm sorry.
No. There's always drama on set. I've never been on I was doing JFK watching Oliver Stone scream at the top of his lungs at people who were being paid $8,500 a week and they couldn't move a 1/2 pound Klieg light and put it outside of a window where he wanted it. You know, and I'm going, good grief. You know. So it really doesn't matter how much money you have if you don't have confident people around you. You know. So there's drama on every set I've ever been on. I've never been on a set where there wasn't any. I won't say the Resident Evil set didn't have much drama because these kids were so wonderful to work with and so young and so spirited and so they had all their friends working on it. So it was it was us against the world kind of deal. So there really wasn't a whole lot of that. It was very refreshing. <laughs> You know. No egos and everybody was happy and I'd go down the road with a group of kids like that any day.
It's funny because, I mean, drama, like you said, is a part of life. It's a part of everything. I don't know. I have my favorite drama from certain things. Like, oh, my God, when Techie Ed slept with that dead 78-year-old guy, that was the best. That was the best. You know, just crazy. Oh, I'm sorry. and the fan base, we just lost the entire fan base. But I'm seriously psyched about these projects you have. What do you do to pick these out? I mean, is there criteria? Do you just kind of...
No. Actually, we just, I live life on such a laid-back kind of... Well, what do you want to do today? Well, I don't know. What do you want to do? Oh, let's count marbles. Okay.
I mean, you know, so life to me is very laid back. And I've got these kids all over the world that I just, I'll ankle bind, I'll see, and, you know, I got like six kids and Teresa has two, so wherever we're looking at kids. But what happens is when we do these conventions and things, they find you. Oh my God, dude, I've been looking for you for 6 years. Where have you been? I have no idea. Where are you looking? but they find you and then they send you scripts and then you go, oh wow, this looks like fun. And then the MySpace thing, you know, people laugh and go, oh, MySpace, that's only for 9-year-olds. I don't think so because we got like 3 film projects coming out of MySpace. Because you know, when they can finally find you, you know.
Yeah. Can you tell that to my business manager who thinks that MySpace is like, she's like, it's for teenagers to pick up other teens. Or it's not.
We've got like, we have probably over, I don't know, 4,000 friends or something, and about 9 of them are teenagers.
Yeah, right. See, MySpace is an awesome networking thing. I don't know. And I do check your MySpace from time to time because you have hysterical things up there like Lego Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, my God. Was that funny or what?
Oh, my God. They need to.
That's funny stuff. I've inspired the Lego people. I mean, this is good stuff.
I've got an idea, and this is for the whoever makes the video games for PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 3. You need to listen to me on this one, okay? You got your Lego Batman. You got your Lego Star Wars. What about Lego Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Yeah.
That'd be a hit with kids. Come on.
Nice. And a few adults. We're simply acting like children.
I mean, and just have it play out just like the little Lego thing. I think it's fantastic. Blood everywhere. It'd be great. The kids will be like, oh, okay, I'm going to go hack my sister up. Oh, well, you have fun with that. I actually have a story for you. And I don't know, because you say everybody is influenced by Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I actually, you know, growing up in high school, I was all into the horror stuff. I actually had a Texas Chainsaw Massacre T-shirt. And on the back, it said, I forgot what it said on the back, and it had a picture of the chainsaw coming through the shirt. We had this like 98-year-old hall monitor in school. He actually chased me through the hallways, got me in my art class, and was like, you can't wear that shirt. And I'm like, why not? Because you're promoting violence with a chainsaw. It's like,
well, I personally think it was, if you put the skirt back on, you would have been fine. That's just my theory.
Hey, you know, I mean, that was my look for high school.
Right, right. I hear you. No, I'm down with that. Yeah, what do they know?
So I found it hysterical, and I was like, well, okay then. I was like, do you want me to take my shirt off right here? Or he's like, well, just don't wear it again. So I wore it the next week. I was like, hey, where you at? So I have to thank you for having 98-year-old hall monitor chasing me.
There you go.
I don't know. I mean, that's my thank you to you. But, no, seriously, you have done so much. You've accomplished so much. I know you are very modest. So I just want to say that you really have done quite a lot, and I don't know if anybody's ever stopped to tell you. I know you hear all the time, you're great, you're awesome, but I don't know if anybody stopped to tell you what an accomplished actor you are. And I just thought you needed to know that.
They can do a lot of wonderful places. I mean, and next week when we go to Erie, we're going to make like, you know, 800 new friends, and wow, life doesn't get any better than that.
So what's your favorite fest?
My favorite what?
Your like fest, your favorite convention that you've gone to.
Oh, gosh, there's been so many because we meet such wonderful people. I mean, we just did one in Springhill, New Jersey. Where was it?
We were in the pit of hell called Indiana.
Springhill, New Jersey? Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Fangoria shows are great. And what's the name of the one we did? The Frightmares in Texas are fun. Oh my God, we did a wonderful one down there with all kinds of people. And as fate would have it, we did a wonderful show with Lynn Lowry, who is now going to be cast with me in Dante Tomaselli's new film.
Ooh.
Torture Chamber. Oh, I'm so stoked about this Torture Chamber. Dante's, I think, raising the final money right now. And I get to play a doctor who's been torturing people. And these people are being taken out of this old house and whacked and tortured and maimed. And you don't find out until 2/3 of the way through the movie that the people doing it are children. Which sounds fair to me.
I'm just going to say, I'm like, this sounds like, you know, I'm seeing Academy all the way on this one.
I don't know. Yeah, the Academy of Arts and Sciences, but I'm...
But yeah, so but I can't wait. And so Teresa, my lovely fiance, is going, you know, where do I, can I write a check? Because this is going to be so wonderful to sit in a chair over to the side and watch you be tortured and maimed by teenagers for 3 weeks. This is good stuff. So she's totally stoked. She really can't wait.
Get the video camera because, you know, that you can
she's
going to
take pom-poms. You know what I'm saying here? Pom-poms.
Sticking in the All right, well, I mean, this is Halloween, man. This is incredible time. This is the best thing. What, I mean, are you into horror? What got you into horror? What started this thing, this beast that we all have inside of us?
It was the first time that I got my own apartment and I opened my first light bill. I screamed so loud. I went, wow, you'd be good in horror films. I went, oh, okay.
I'm going to do that. I was gonna say, I mean, has anybody ever asked?
Left the closet lid on. Oh my god!
I hear that. It's the voices in my head. You know, I'm gonna be trying to sleep tonight. I'm hearing that voice in my head. The light bell. What the hell? Jesus! No, has anybody ever asked you if you're like even really into horror? Like, if you watch horror like as obsessively?
They're always amazed to find out that you know. You can have, you know, Carolyn Monroe or Andy McDowell. Andy McDowell, you know, they're always, because I've watched so many different kinds of movies growing up. Horror was not like the only thing I liked. But I did love all the old Hammer stuff and all of that. But I was into everything. But because of Chainsaw, you watch a little more of it because a lot of the people you're hanging out with, that's all they're into.
Right.
So
right.
And there is a bit of that, but people are often amazed, like, you actually like Mom and Pop Kettle? Yes, I do. Watched every one of them twice with my mom when I was 4 years old.
So what's your favorite genre? Are you into like the old?
That's what I'm saying. There isn't one. I like everything, and I mean, gosh, you know, I just. There's so much stuff I like. You need like a series to, you know, because it's so mercurial. Like one day it'll be like, oh wow, look at this. Oh wow, this. And then the next day it'll be this great animation movie. Oh wow, look at this.
I'm not ashamed to say that I dig a lot of the old 50s, like even before that, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s musicals and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. You know, Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers, my God.
Oh sure. Yeah, I've watched all of those all my life and still do. And see, that's a good example right there. But another thing was being a film historian, because I worked at the University of Texas for a long time cataloging their theatrical projects for them. And, you know, for example, one of the things I cataloged for them was they have one of the world's largest collections of photographs of the Ziegfeld Follies from New York City. So I got into the whole vaudeville thing and found out how wonderful vaudeville was. So then I started going out watching every vaudeville movie that was ever made, you know. But being a film historian gave me such a much wider, spectrum than I ever thought I would see, because I got to handle these individual, you know, for example, I got to catalog the David O. Selznick collection. I can prove to you who wrote the movie and the film script. It wasn't written by the guy that won the Academy Award for it. It was written by Ben Hecht, and I can prove that. Because I cataloged for the first time all of the individual scripts that were written for Gone with the Wind chronologically.
Oh my.
But they gave him screen credit because he backed over himself. Sidney Howard, they gave him screen credit because he backed over himself with a tractor and killed himself. And Selznick was such a sentimentalist. He goes, no, we'll give him the credit. So they gave him the credit. But it was actually Ben Hecht, who was an alcoholic and didn't care, and said, you know, who gives a shit? Give me a check. You keep the credit, give me a check. But things like that. So that's why you end up being liking all the different. But Teresa's screaming at him, tell him how much you like suspense movies. I like suspense movies. Yeah.
I heard from somewhere you like suspense movies. Is this true?
I do like suspense movies. Where you don't find out till the last frame of the film who did it.
It made me wonder. Oh my God! Yeah. Hitchcock was one of my personal faves growing up, And I actually, you know the cat in the window shot, right? It's the term they use all the time. Oh, get some cat in the window shot. Do you? I didn't even realize that Hitchcock actually like helped throw that into the limelight because I was watching his old series and he literally had a cat in the window for the cat in the window shot. And I just went, oh, my God, that is freaking hysterical right there. I got laughing. I mean, it's all this stuff that I don't think people today appreciate in film. And it's just all this little stuff. And I don't know, good stuff. It's good to hear that you're so passionate in the film. And so just, I mean, what should we call him? The film authoritative? I don't know, the authoritative novel on film? I don't know.
And I'm dying to see this new movie on Michael Moore because he's, I can't wait. You know, I wish I had enough money to go out and make movies about people I want to take off on. I mean, there'll be some people leaving town tomorrow, I'm telling you.
You're making a movie about us, man. We got to go to the Bahamas. Well, see, I mean, all the movies that are coming out about me, I approve. I mean, the less clothes, the better. It's fine. I don't care. I mean, there's the rumor about me in the towels. Who cares? I'll bring it on. That's all I got to say. Seriously, you are one of the funniest guys in the business. I don't know. Whoever's listening, all you jerks that are scouting us, you need to listen to him. You need to make Ed, like, okay, get rid of Eddie Murphy. You need to make Ed have, like, 15,000 movies with him as, like, 20 different characters. I'm serious. I am serious. I refuse to go to cinema unless I see this happen. I'm done. That's it. But you are an amazing actor, and I wouldn't count yourself short, and I'm not, the fans aren't, I don't want them to think.
I can't count myself short, I'm 6'3".
I don't want the fans thinking I'm just saying that because you're on the show this week, and the next week I'm like, oh, that putz, I swear to God, do we have to have him on again? No, I seriously, I love you, I think you're incredible, and I just don't think that people realize just how talented you are. But you are.
We've had a lot of fun.
Yeah, you are incredible, and I hope, you know, we wish you the best of luck with everything and much more continued success. You already have so much.
I really appreciate you having me on.
I hope that you'll come on the show in the future and let us know about some of the crazy adventures you're doing.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
He's like, yeah, I'm not coming back on the show. Will you come on in the future and let us know about any new projects you got going on and any craziness you have? Great.
Absolutely.
Because we absolutely love you here. So, I mean, we just have to happen. But thank you. Check it out. Where can they go to check out more of your work?
Well, wait till these next two or three get done. But I guess the next thing, what's that Korean film we just dubbed called Vengeance? And then we dubbed also a Korean anime. I forget the name of these things. Look it up on IMDb. I have to.
See, guys, he does so much, he doesn't even know anymore. He's like, was I in that? I don't know. I was. I don't know.
So the kids that come up to the shows are far more knowledgeable about my career than I am. Remember when you did the three voices in Mola Guy? I go, no. Tiger Blade, that's the name of it. Tiger Blade is a wonderful Korean movie that we just dubbed. And then the other one was Vengeance. Vengeance. So those are just in the stores now. But those are great fun. But and then we got some more anime coming up.
You have a MySpace or a website that people can go to? And
just put my name in MySpace and it'll come up.
Yay! Put Neil, or put the weirdest guy in America or the sexiest guy in America. Really, you could put anything.
Yeah, David Hasselhoff and me, side by side. You choose. You choose. Come on.
It's the new Baywatch I want. I want that. I want Ed and David running down the beach in the little Speedo thing.
I have a right for that. Honey, I can't wear a Speedo, but that's we'll go into that later.
That was the old Speedo injury of 87. But we can't talk about that on air.
No.
Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you, baby. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
This was Ed Neal from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The man is so talented. He's been on everything. As you can tell, he's the funniest guy I know. Well, besides Techie Ed. But he is literally the funniest guy I know. You need to pick him up. You need to check him out. Look at the history of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Look at the stuff that he's doing now. Look at all the indie films, television work, anime, games. The man is incredible. He's invincible. He's the Mr. Ed Neal. So please check him out. Hit him up on MySpace, Google, whatever. But, guys, we got to get out of here. I have no idea what just happened. The last hour was insanity. All I hear is Ed's voice in my head, seriously. But thanks for tuning in. Tune in next week because I swear to God, we have the ultimate Halloween tradition for you guys. So tune in. Later.